Welcome back. You are listening to the Lone Star Money Resource. Again, it's a beautiful Thursday afternoon here. I'm here with my partner, Joe Piazza, and we're talking about some good stuff.
Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you played a little hooky today, if possible. Hope you're riding around your car with the windows down. But for those listeners that have been on the show for a little while, hopefully you're just tuning in. We are a wealth design group. We specialize in business protection and personal wealth coaching. We have over 20 years experience in this area, and we manage over $800 million in assets. So we know what we're talking about when it comes to this sort of stuff.
At least we think we do.
We do, yeah.
We feel very confident.
If you ever have any questions, comments, or concerns, please don't feel free to text in at 713-826-0426. Again, that's 713-826-0426. Or visit our website at www.wealthdesigngroup.net. Or if you want to catch what happened on the show, you can always go to our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Lone Star Money Resource. Also wanted to make a point that if you have been a victim of any things we have been talking about earlier in the show, whether it be the behavior that you know could possibly lose you millions in your retirement fund, or you know, the investment strategies that come from these behaviors, please don't hesitate. We would love to have you at our coaching event on April 27th. Starts at 6:30 over at Perry's in City Center. You know, you get a nice steak. You get to listen about your money. It's win-win for everybody in the audience.
So. Or you can go pork chop, and that'll last you about 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Or the lettuce wedge with the ranch and the bacon. It's all delicious.
All good stuff. Yeah, I think if this doesn't work out for me, I'm going to just be like a chef. Try to catch me on Chef's Table Season 4. No, I love food.
I'm down. I know you're a good cook, man. I'd be all right to come to your restaurant.
The truth is, I'm actually not a very good cook, but my girlfriend is. So when people come over, I just kind of take credit for it. She's the cook.
I like that.
But I'll buy groceries, so it's fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, so with that being said, so we'll kind of get back on topic here. What we talked about in the first segment is really the behaviors that lead to that anxiety and that fear that's associated with investing, unfortunately. And I feel like, you know, the market is one of the greatest wealth creation tools out there. It shouldn't come with all this fear and this anxiety, but it does, unfortunately, because it's people's livelihood, it's people's American dream, and some people feel like they're losing that, and you can't get that back, right? But we're here to help you with that. So we talked a little bit about the behavior, you know, and that's a big thing that results in kind of these negative actions that people do, these investment strategies that they think create value. But if you look at the numbers, they really just do not. And those things that we talked about last time was stock selection. So it's just picking the right stock over another, right? Track record investing, trusting some money manager that's had a good return over the past year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Market timing, guessing when to get in and when to get out of the market. And then, of course, the actual cost of investing. You know, I didn't spend too much time on that, but really the concept there is there's a lot of hidden cost built inside of your portfolios. Not just that mutual fund expense or expense ratio, but that turnover. Every single time your money manager or yourself is buying and selling and making transactions in your account, therefore stock picking and market timing, doing all the things that we know they can't do, it actually costs you more money. Mm-hmm. So what we really want to do is eliminate those myths from our investment philosophy. In fact, let's eliminate them from our vocabulary. Don't say stock picking anymore. If your wife says market timing, tell her you don't approve of that. If your children say cost of investing or track record investing, put them in timeout. You know, just eliminate that from the vocabulary entirely.
And you know what? I just thought about this. The stock selection thing, that roots back all the way to elementary school when they're doing the Wall Street game. You know, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's just in our nature to want to beat the market, to be get the next Apple.
Right? Yeah,
Let's go find the next Apple out there.
And don't get me wrong. If you bought Coke, you know, right when it came out, and you bought Apple right when it came out, actually probably would have taken quite some time in Apple. It would have gone down for a while, then came up. You obviously would have a ton of money, but the truth is, if you engineered a portfolio correctly, you could be in the exact same position. And then really on the flip side is for all those who didn't buy Apple, they bought Apple's competitor or Coke's competitor or whomever, they broke, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to prevent. We're trying to prevent people from making those mistakes that erode away their wealth and do hurt their American dream. That's really what we're trying to recapture.
The Exxons of the world.
The Enron, you mean? Enrons of the world.
Enron, excuse me.
Yeah, the Enrons of the world.
Not Exxon. Enron.
For all those Houstonians. Yeah, Exxon, don't get mad at us.
Yeah, my bad.
Anyway, so with that being said, really what we want to talk about now is really the truth. What's really the right way to capture market returns? What's the right way to build wealth inside your retirement plans, whether it's 401ks or IRAs or brokerage accounts? And What we use is what's called free market portfolio theory. And really what it is, it's an academic approach, an investment approach based on about 50 years of academic investing research and accepted financial theory. So it's actually made up of a couple Nobel Prize winning ideas. So smarter people than us that have come before us and proven the right way to build wealth inside the portfolios. But it's also made up another component, and that's discipline. It's a very disciplined approach that helps you seek to capture market returns while managing risk. And the reason why I say discipline is it comes back to those behaviors we talked about. It all kind of roots from those behaviors. Is it's very hard to think, I need to buy more of this while my account's going down, right? But the truth is they're at a low. They're at a discount, right? We all know we want to buy low so that we can then sell high, but it's very hard emotionally to do that. And so it does take discipline. It's also hard the other way around. You know, when the markets are up 10%, 20%, 30%, it's hard to think, okay, I need to sell that and buy what hasn't been doing well. Like, that doesn't sound fun at all, right? I just want to keep riding this. So it does take discipline, but if you're able to be disciplined, and really I think where that comes in is working with coaches such as Joe and myself, but if you are able to be disciplined and you are able to use the investment approach, use the math, use the science, you're able to really build a portfolio correctly, okay? So it's made up of three components, and I won't spend too much time on the first component, but it is made up of three components. One is free markets work. Two is modern portfolio theory. That's where Harry Markowitz won his Nobel Prize. And three is the three-factor model, and that's where Eugene Fama won his Nobel Prize. And those are the three things that build and create our free market portfolio theory, which will essentially guarantee you market returns all the time, okay? So component one, free markets work. Really, the concept here is supply and demand. You know, goods and services are already priced appropriately, right? Joe, do you drink coffee?
I do.
So let's say Joe gets, do you get your coffee at Starbucks, McDonald's?
Yeah, I go to Starbucks.
Fancy. All right. We're paying Joe too much. So anyway, with that being said, so let's say Joe goes to Starbucks. He goes and gets his coffee. Same Starbucks, same location, same everything. And they tell you that coffee is going to be $420. Would you buy that cup of coffee?
No, I walk out the door.
There you go. Now let's say you go back the next day. And same place, same coffee. In fact, it's even the same guy or gal that's helping you across the table, and they tell you that coffee would be a nickel. Would you buy that coffee?
I'd buy some more probably, and then I'd sell it on the street for a little more than a nickel.
There you go. There's an entrepreneur for you right there. And that's really the point. Goods and services are already priced appropriately, right? You know, if something was too expensive, we as a consumer wouldn't buy it. And if it was too cheap, the company's just going to go out of business, right? Starbucks probably isn't going to make enough money to support all thousands and thousands of their locations at selling a cup of coffee for a nickel, right? And so with that being said, the free market already works. It's already efficient. Supply and demand already works. Mm-hmm. You know, capitalism itself, it works. This is why the American dream is not dead. You know, everyone keeps trying to say American dream's dead, blah, blah, blah. It's not, because free markets still work. And what's beautiful about that is, if that is your belief, that should dictate your actions, right? And so if you believe in the free markets, then just focus on capturing market returns. They're awesome. They've been awesome. They've been averaging out 10, 11, 12, 13% every year for the past almost 100 years, right? Yes, there's years it's down, and yes, there's years it's not up a lot, but if you average it out, you're making a ton. So they're awesome. And what's also good about that is when you believe in the free market, you can eliminate the traditional investment strategies, right? You don't have to worry about stock picking and market timing and staying connected to multiple sources of information. You get to weed all that junk out. All you really got to do is figure out what your risk is and then diversify into different asset classes. That's it. And if you're able to do that, then you're able to make and capture great returns themselves in the market. So that's really kind of the first component. Like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on that. I think a lot of people do agree supply and demand is kind of a real deal, and mm-hmm. and capitalism works. So with that being said, I want to kind of get into the nerdy stuff about it, which I do definitely like. And I won't go too deep, I promise. This is the part where, you know, you may actually have to roll your window down if you haven't already, kind of wake you up a little bit, let that wind hit you in the face. But it'll all come together, and I'll end up showing you kind of how this works for you as an investor moving forward. So again, component one, free markets work. Supply and demand works. Joe's coffee's $2. It's not $400. It's not a nickel.
That's right.
All right, so component two, this is modern portfolio theory. This is just the idea that diversification works. It's the key to it all, right? And there's a couple people that contributed to this. You know, Harry Markowitz is the one we talked about. William Sharpe and Merton Miller also contributed to this. But essentially what happened is Harry Markowitz created what's called the Markowitz Efficient Frontier. And again, we'll throw that up on our website as well, so you can take a look at that. And if you're ever interested in having us do an evaluation of your current plan, we'll actually see where you fall on that Markowitz Efficient Frontier. We'll do what we call as our portfolio MRI to see, are you getting the highest return relative to risk? But again, what the Markowitz Efficient Frontier shows is, if you're willing to take additional risk, if your portfolio has a higher standard deviation, higher volatility, you're willing to take additional risk, then you should actually get a higher return for it. There's actually a return premium you should be receiving for any given level of risk. And so if you don't fall on that Markowitz Efficient Frontier, then there's inefficiency or improvements we can make. And this entire time we've been discussing, you know, I've been talking about how the S&P 500 is up 10%. It's a great asset class. Well, it actually is inefficient because it's not diversified, right? That's why the idea of just owning an index fund is good, much better than an actively managed mutual fund, but it's not going to get the job done. It's not going to get you the highest return relative to risk, because at the end of the day, it's just not diversified. It's just large U.S. companies.
Right? And again, if you're in index funds or whatever market that you're trying to model after, honestly, you're probably doing the majority of your peers out there. So kudos for you. But at the same time, there is a better way, and we can show you how to do it.
And that's really what I'm trying to get into, is the engineering of a portfolio, the dynamic of a portfolio, how great are structured funds and dynamic funds, and how that actually can get you a premium above things like the S&P 500, and actually do it for less risk, because it's not all your eggs are in one basket. That's actually kind of the point I was going to make, is what Harry Markowitz did, and what was amazing is he kind of played with different asset classes. And what I mean by an asset class is large cap stocks, S&P 500, that's an asset class. Whereas Russell 2000, more small companies, that's a different asset class, right? So he played with different asset classes, large and small and international, and he started mixing them together. And he found out by not only mixing them together, you can get a higher return and you can do it for a lot less risk. So what's really interesting is, if I have, let's say, the S&P 500, right? And like I've been saying this whole time, you're making about 10% return, right? 10.2 technically. It has a standard deviation of 15.31. Now, that means nothing to anybody, but if I say a bigger number, that means more risk. So 15.3 is its standard deviation.
From 1970 to 2015.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
So with that being said, you would think that if I decided to mix that up and add things like international, which is a risky asset class, and international small, which is the riskiest asset class pretty much you can be in, it would have to increase my risk, right? I mean, I know it may give me a better return, but it's also increasing my risk. But what's amazing, and what Harry Markowitz figured out, is you could take 30% of your portfolio, put about 20% of it in international, 10% of it international small, and then in that same exact time period, you could actually average 10.8%. But here's the best part about it. Your standard deviation dropped a whole point. It's now 14.29. So the short and sweet is, not only does diversification help by getting you a better rate of return, but if you do it mathematically and scientifically, not just pick this, 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 and this, you can actually minimize your risk. So that's how you actually build a better portfolio. That's how you're able to get the highest rate of return relative to a risk that you're comfortable with.
And that key, again, let's say we had a portfolio and we, you know, had X amount of dollars in it and we lost 10% the first year, you know, returns with money works different. Time value of money is a little different than when we're talking about money. So down 10% 1 year, the next year you're up 10%, you're still not above board, right? Because you're at a lower number to begin with. So making sure that we're as low volatility as possible according to your risk tolerance adds return to the portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So really, Harry Markowitz kind of built that model that we try to model our portfolios after, and we do. We make sure all our portfolios fall on that Markowitz Efficient Frontier. But then we actually took it a step further and added the third component. So the third component is what we call the three-factor model. Now, Eugene Fama, Kenneth French, you may have heard those names. They worked on this, and they got a Nobel Prize for this. But really, it's a simple concept. It's just a measure of risk and return. So for example, we know stocks are riskier than T-bills, right? We know stocks are riskier than bonds, but they pay a premium. Stocks, since the 20s, have paid almost 7% more a year than bonds. So guess what? You can invest in them, right? As long as the asset class pays a premium relative to risk, you can invest in. Now, he mentioned earlier small companies, right? We know they're riskier. International small and U.S. small, they're riskier than large companies, right? More of them are going out of business every day than the big companies. But since the 20s, they've paid almost a 2% premium. So I can invest in them, right? Same thing with value companies. Value companies are companies that have a high book-to-market ratio, right? So it could be like, for example, Exxon invested $1 billion into something. So right now their books are a little off with the intention of that's going to turn into $4 billion, right? So they're a value company at this point in time for in this example. All that being said is since the 20s, value companies have also got about a 2% premium. So with all that being said, if you can just get past the behavior, if you just can get past the things that behavior leads to, which is stock picking and market timing and all that, and just understand that free markets work. The returns come from the market, and then take it a step further and engineer a portfolio correctly around the concept of owning the right asset classes and diversifying the right way, you can build a great portfolio that will last the length of forever, right? It'll withstand everything no matter what's going on. And if you feel that you don't have this advice, or you feel that you maybe are subject to this, or you haven't reviewed your portfolios in a while, please give us a call or shoot us a text at 713-826-0426, and we'll definitely help you out. Or come to our coaching event, which is April 27th, Perry's Memorial City. It'll be at 6:30. You know, reach out to us and let us know kind of if we can help you with that. Because at the end of the day, that's really our goal here. And we thank you for your time.
Absolutely, absolutely. This has been Justin Makris and Joe Piazza on Lone Star Money Resource.
Hypothetical examples discussed are not intended to suggest a course of action or represent the performance of any product or security. All investments contain risk and may lose value. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Diversification does not guarantee profit or protect against market loss. Investing in foreign securities may involve heightened risk, including currency fluctuations, less liquid trading markets, greater price volatility, political and economic instability, less publicly available information, and changes in tax or currency laws. Such risks may be enhanced in emerging markets. The S&P 500 index is generally considered representative of the stock market as a whole. It, however, focuses on the large cap segment of the U.S. market. Indexes are unmanaged and you cannot invest directly in an index. Wealth Design Group does not give tax or legal advice. Anything mentioned in the show related to these items is not advice, and you must check with your CPA or attorney prior to taking action. Securities products and advisory services offered through Park Avenue Securities, a member of FINRA SIPC.